welcome to the Sharp Side Podcast. I'm your host, Chaz Barada, and joining me to break down week 8 of the college football season, James Bitter is back. You guys no longer have to listen to me drone on and on as I'm very tired and just want to get the college pods over with. I'm very happy to have someone to bounce things off of, James. I was getting some negative reviews on my last college pod, so thank you for being here.
Of course. I took a brief hiatus, but in my absence, I actually did pretty well tweeting picks. Finally got back over the 500 mark, so it's good to be back.
We also had I forgot to tweet out your picks, or did you tweet them out last weekend?
I think you tweeted them both out, a screenshot.
Okay, I don't remember doing that, but I hope I did. I can probably go look. To update our records, I'm 18-12. James is half a game behind me at 17-12-1. Very good records, seeing as we both had losing records. What was it?
3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
So we have turned it around. We promised we'd right the ship, and we did. Just kind of briefly go over some of the news. Eddie O is gone. LSU is going to be looking for a new coach. I bet on Florida last week, and I hate Ed Orgeron and I hate Florida. That game just pissed me off. Although seeing Anthony Richardson play was very excited. It got me thinking. I already have my national title prediction for next year. Anthony Richardson versus Caleb Williams. That would be fun.
A lot of points.
It would be a lot of points. But yeah, a good record so far on our bets. Last week, though, seemingly everything outside of like my bets from the podcast, I think I went 3-2 last week. So 60% last week ain't bad. But I think I lost literally every other bet. So it was good that I picked the ones that I did. Georgia kept on trucking last week. They handled what I thought was a pretty impressive performance from Kentucky. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, Kentucky held their own. They covered the number, so it's got to be semi-impressive.
And like statistically, like I think I made a joke that texting you. I think I said like that was the most. That's like the most impressive 250 yard. Or 250 total yard performance I've seen all year, I had very low expectations for the offense kind of coming in, but they were able to move the ball enough to stay within the numbers. So kudos to Kentucky for doing that. My next note here is a question. James, is Oklahoma State good?
I wouldn't put them in that category yet, but they are making their way up my list.
Were you able to watch any of that game?
I was not, but looking at the box score, it looks like the score didn't lie. It's like the first game I've actually looked at, and the box score told like a pretty reasonable truth. But I mean, we'll get into them a little later.
Yeah, we will for sure. That'll be the first game we talk about. I was impressed. I think they were able to kind of like their strengths matched up with Texas's weaknesses really well. And like, that just kind of gave them a boost. They hit my team total for me, which I was very happy. There was a pick six at the end or something like that, which I was very excited about. Cause I felt like I was drawing dead for a little bit, and it was a good feeling. And then I can pretty much just burn my Bijan Robinson and Casey Thompson Heisman tickets as fun as they were to have for a couple weeks. So that was a bummer. But and then this is my final question. So the college football playoff is slowly taking shape. I would say that barring some unforeseen, I guess Georgia might not think it's a miracle, but I would call it a miracle if like Georgia loses some random game, say to like Florida or something like that. And I don't really see Cincinnati losing either. What would you personally line Georgia versus Cincinnati?
15.5.
Okay. I was going to say Georgia minus 14.5.
Yeah. I was between 14.5 and 17.5. And then using Kentucky as kind of the barometer at 23, I think since it's probably about a touchdown better than them. So right in that range.
And I like 17. with a total of like 48. 47.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it was last year in the bowl game. I think it was like
49-ish. Oh, yeah, I think you're right. Oh, my gosh. I just completely forgot they played last year. That was, that was a close game, too. Georgia won that at the end.
Yeah. We were on the over, and we were in Santa Barbara. I was watching, just like pulling hairs out.
That was a morning for sure. And then I'd imagine Oklahoma, they have a couple more roadblocks coming. But so my next question comes to, so Cincinnati goes undefeated. I would imagine that they get in. Would you like, do you see, envision any scenario where they're undefeated and the committee doesn't put them in?
No, I'd say Oklahoma is ahead of them. And then you could take a one loss Big Ten school, but there's no other scenario.
Well, so then what if Bama beats Georgia was my next question.
Oh, well, then I don't think you can leave them out. I mean, they're ranked number 2 right now. Like, you can't, if they win every game, there's no reason they drop three spots in the polls.
That's true. That's reasonable.
So I think it's probably the Big Ten, or if Oklahoma runs the table, well, you can't leave them out. So probably the Big Ten getting left out.
Okay. Makes sense. I'm hoping that Bama loses to Georgia. I think I might be, as it's setting up now, if I'm getting a small money line dog price on Bama, I think I might be betting that. But I think getting Cincy, Georgia, Oklahoma, and Ohio State would make for a very, very fun college football playoff. So I'm looking forward to that. We ready to hit these games?
Yeah, let's jump in.
All right. First game, Oklahoma State at Iowa State. Iowa State is lane 7. Total is at 47. James, where are we looking here?
I leaned Oklahoma State in this one. I think Iowa State's getting a lot of love. Everyone knows now it's Brocktober. They've just absolutely demolished their last two opponents. The box score doesn't really tell the truth last week what happened in K-State. They dominated that game. And then the week before, I think they beat Kansas by 60. So Brocktober's in full effect here, but Oklahoma State did show me a little bit last week, and then they have beat Iowa State the last 2 years with both coming in Brocktober. So I lean that way here. I just think 7's a lot. A lot to lay in a game total at 47. And I think Oklahoma State's defense can do enough to keep them in this one for sure. Their defense has played really well this year. It's their offense that worries me a little bit. As long as Spencer Sanders doesn't turn the ball over, I think they could probably stay within this number. I think Iowa State is probably a pretty good money line piece if you want to play them in a parlay. But other than that, just probably staying away.
Yeah, I agree. I was hoping we'd get like an Iowa State 3, which like that might have been a little bit of a pipe dream there. But I just really want to bet against Oklahoma State. And I do think that Iowa State's defense is good enough to kind of have Oklahoma State in a tough spot, especially at home. My only worry is that they just try and run the ball too much. Cause while like they have a great running back, I wouldn't really say that's what they do best. I think I will just kind of be trusting in Brocktober. It's a phenomenon. We can't explain it. But the man just covers in October. And so, give me the Iowa State Cyclones laying the 7. Next game, Oregon at UCLA. UCLA is laying, I believe this is 1 now. Total is at 60.5. James, what are we thinking here?
This is just another lean for me. I lean to UCLA. The main reason for this is just if you watch the Pac-12, or if you've been watching for long enough, you know this time of the year, whatever can go wrong for the conference is going to happen. Oregon, their only chance at the college football playoff, and this is probably their toughest game remaining on the schedule. I think this is where they slip up again and eliminate themselves from the playoff contention. I just think UCLA is good, and I think the spot lines up really well for them. They've been a really good home team this year outside of that game against Fresno, which was a total flat spot off the LSU game. But I just think UCLA has the weapons to beat them. And Oregon has not covered a game since beating Ohio State. I just think they're overvalued still, even without covering. And UCLA -1 feels pretty right, but probably a no play for me.
Got it. I will note, I think Kayvon Thibodeau was so impressive in the second half of that Cal game. I watched a lot of that. He was a wrecking ball. It was super impressive, I think. I think if I could choose one coach to kind of scheme up against like a dominant DN like that, Chip Kelly would be pretty close to the top of that list. Just because like of how creative he is running the ball and setting up easy passes. And when you have a quarterback like DTR, who, hey, I'll admit, I was a big time detractor of his just coming into the year. I talked a lot of shit. Overall, he's proven me wrong for the most part. Just he's been very solid in structure and has been able to get so much done with his legs. I think that when you kind of have someone dynamic like that, it does neutralize what Thibodeau brings to the table. And then I'm with you. Like I think Oregon has issues of their own. Like they have been terrible against the pass, which I just think should make DTR's time even more easy, like even easier than it has been. And if they are forced to like load the box and UCLA is running the ball on them, which is what they do best, then like they're going to be an even more of a disadvantage. So, and on top of that, like I'm not a believer in Anthony Brown. They've lost a lot on offense just due to CJ Verdell getting hurt for the rest of the year. So give me UCLA. I think now that -1, I think that's way too short. So I'm riding with the Bruins this weekend. I think Cristobal just sucks in game. He just makes a bunch of stupid decisions that I don't like. So it's part of that's definitely plays into it a bit. The Pittsburgh Panthers, they're in first place in the ACC or in the Coastal anyways?
Yeah, they haven't lost in the ACC play. Just to Western Michigan, the usual pick game.
Yeah, that's true. They got it out of their system. They're laying 3, hosting Clemson. The total is at 47.5. James, can you give me any good reason why Clemson is able to win it, can win a shootout with Pitt?
They can't win a shootout. Their offense is just too inept. The game they win is a 17-14 type of game. And honestly, I just think Pitt's too good this year. That new revved up pass first offense, which is just light and day from what they've done in the past, run.
Brennan Marion, pass. He's a visionary.
It is crazy how much better they are offensively. Kenny Pickett is actually cooking. I never thought I'd say those words.
It's
not a horrible bet. They might be the ACC champ. This conference is downright dog shit.
If you look at the defenses he plays, it's like Clemson's is good, but like if he just wins here, it'll be like a good mark on his case. But like he plays Miami, terrible defense. North Carolina, terrible defense. Duke, terrible defense.
Yeah,
and then he'll go up against Wake most likely in the ACC championship, which another good terrible God. Defense. And like that game's gonna finish 63-60.
My God,
that would actually be funny to watch.
I mean, yeah, if you would have told me Pitt Wake before the end of the year, which still is not set in stone, I would have said you are a maniac. But anyways, I think I will be betting Pitt -3 here. I just think Clemson can't keep up. Yes, their defense is really good. It's just that offense really turns me off. I watched that game last week against Syracuse. 14-point favorites, and they barely win the game, 17-14. This spot just really lines up well for Pitt. This is the game I had circled at the beginning of the year. This is when Pitt beats like that ranked team, that one win where they play out of their bodies well. Now they're favorites, which is kind of crazy, but I still think it's warranted. I think Pitt -3 is a pretty good number, and I think I'm going to play this at 3 and 3.5, probably not.
Yeah, I agree. I don't want any piece of that 3. It seems like Clemson is married to the idea of playing close games, and I think that if you do lose that hook, then I do think that it could provide some issues late in the game. One thing I'd like to add is that like all credit to like Kenny Pickett and stuff, but the receivers have they had 2 like very athletic, like big play receivers last year. But they had huge drop problems, and they have like completely corrected that this year. And Clemson has one outstanding corner that could possibly go like top 10, top 15 in the draft, but they've faced a bunch of injuries on the D line and in the secondary. And then just like, normally like they can depend on James Skalski to provide like really good linebacker play, but he just hasn't been as good as he normally is this year. I think Pitt's going to be able to put up a bunch of points. I think that Pitt team total over is not the worst look in the world. And if you can get like a 26.5, I think that'd be a pretty solid bet. Cause I think Pitt getting to 27 is, I mean, it's not necessarily a layup, but I do think that that's provides good value.
Yeah. I like that angle. I think if you like Pitt, I think you have to kind of think they're getting points here.
And one thing I'd like to add is that like Pitt's offense has been great, but their defense has been very good too. And which I thought their defense was struggling towards the beginning of the year. And I thought it would be like kind of bad throughout the year just because of how much they lost from the start of last season. But overall, like they've kind of turned a corner and you can kind of see there's been a lot of development as the year's gone on. So I am bullish on this Pitt team. So go Pitt Panthers. USC is traveling to Notre Dame. Notre Dame is laying 7 at home. The total is at 58. James, where are we looking at here?
I really don't have much of an opinion on this game. I think 58 might be a tad high. So, like, if anything, I'd lean to the under. 7 seems pretty right here. I'm not high on either of these teams. Notre Dame certainly has not looked the part this year. And then, obviously, USC without Clay Helton, I don't know what to expect them week to week. They've looked really bad the last few weeks. I think 7's a lot to lay here, but definitely seems about right.
It's interesting. So I think that USC has like big time issues, but I think it's almost all on defense. Their pass defense is atrocious. It's 117th in the country in passing and defensive passing success rate. And for a Notre Dame offense that can throw it downfield, I believe Tyler Buchner and Michael Meyer will be back and will be playing this weekend. So I think that is going to be that will be kind of important. But I will say this about USC. They have the number one rushing success rate on offense and the number 33 passing success rate on offense. So they do have a good offense. Like they're 6th in overall success rate, which is impressive. And so I was actually thinking about betting over on this total. My one, because I do think that like Notre Dame will be able to kind of pick up big plays and I don't think Notre Dame's defense is quite good enough to really just kind of shut down USC's offense, which I would understand if you don't want to back their offense by any means, because it's looked a little shaky against some average to below average defenses at times. But that being said, over is my look. I haven't bet anything here yet. I do think Notre Dame wins. I just think they're a better team and a better coach too. But this also does feel like the kind of game where USC's entire season is just going to be put on this game just because of like the general importance of it. And so I do think that we could get a little boosted effort than normal from USC here. So not that it won't be the same thing from Notre Dame, but Notre Dame is playing for a little bit more than USC, I would say, just because they've got a potential New Year's Six bowl game that they could possibly look forward to. So I'm looking at the over here.
Those are all good points. Definitely kept me off the under. So
that's it. Could you think of like any other like big games that I didn't really mention? Those seem like the big ones of the weekend. It's not exactly the most glamorous.
Yeah, there's no ranked on ranked matchups for the second week in a row. It's been tough sledding the last 2 weeks for sure with these games.
The good thing is that pretty soon all of like the really good, really good in quotes, the really good Big Ten games are coming up. So like Michigan, yeah. Michigan State, Penn State, Ohio State, they're all going to be playing each other. So that'll like take it up a bit, which should be good.
Definitely.
I think we'll get some good Big 12 matchups too. Before we get to our top 5 plays of the weekend, let's just get a quick word in from our sponsor, Anchor. All right. Excuse me. Thank you to Anchor But let's get into our top five. I am winning by half a game. I'm 18-12 on the year. Math guy, what is that percentage?
60%.
60%. Love that. Love that. James, you're at 17-12-1. That might be a little more difficult. What's 17?
It's probably like 58%.
58%.
17.5 or 12.5. I don't know.
So I'll start. My number one play is TCU -4.5. And it's simple. So I think TCU has one of the best offenses in the country. Now, it's unfortunate that I think their defense is abject trash, but I don't believe in West Virginia's offensive ability to score on them at all. TCU, I was actually impressed with TCU last week. Their defense sucked, but I think that when you're not exactly sure what you're preparing for in Caleb Williams, and when you kind of have like your own defensive issues, I think for the offense to score as many points as they did, despite at times being in like pretty difficult situations, I was very impressed with. They have an ability to put together explosive plays often. And now they're getting back their starting running back, who is among the top five-ish running backs in the country, Zach Evans. So looking forward to that. I think Neil Brown's offense has been an overall disappointment. Whatever it is, just doesn't really do it for me. I was somewhat hopeful on West Virginia at the start of the year. I thought that if Dagie Doge Doge, whatever his name is, kind of I'm going to say Dagie Dogecoin. For now. Dogecoin, that works too. I thought we were going to be able to see some kind of a improvement from him, but he hasn't really. And West Virginia keeps running the ball in like poor situations, which I don't really like. And I think in my mind, I'm just trusting TCU to kind of get to be in enough positive defensive situations to where they just get like the couple stops they need to cover the number. It's not the biggest number in the world. I'm betting this under a touchdown at 4.5. And then West Virginia's passing defense has just been disappointing. And I think Max Duggan's going to be able to do enough to kind of put together big plays and move the ball downfield. So I'm all in on TCU -4.5. James, what do you think? Any thoughts here?
Yeah, I definitely lean that way. I think the way I'm going to attack this is probably the team total over. If I get something under 33, 34, under 35, I think it's definitely going to be a play for me. But you made really good points for TCU. West Virginia's just not lived up to the hype this year. This was supposed to be Neil Brown's third year, like just kind of the takeoff year if you look at all past trends for coaches in their third year, but just haven't seen it yet. And I just think the TCU offense is too good. And the defense does scare me, like you said. So that's kind of why I target the team total instead of the spread.
I'm trying to pull up that team total over for you real quick. Let's see here. I'm seeing TCU at 31.5 +110. Ooh, I do kind of like that.
If we can get under 30.5.
Actually, I'll look at another book later, but I kind of like the plus number. So that is kind of nice. But let's move on to your number one ranked play. Our San Diego State Aztecs getting 3.5. They are at Air Force, correct?
Yes.
Taking on the wildly successful Air Force a triple option rushing attack. James, what side are you betting here?
I am all over the Aztecs. It's another year of the same SDSU team. Bet on them as a dog, fade them as a favorite. This year, that trend is 4-2, and they are a dog here, catching points. Air Force is the number one rush offense in the country, but SDSU is the number one rush defense. So something's got to give here, and I think it's the Air Force side. SDSU's won this match the last 8 times. Yes, Rocky Long was the head coach for all those, but I think Brady Hoke was there when that streak started. I just think that they defend this really well. They had an extra day of rest too last week after the San Jose State game. So that helps just even that one more day to watch film, watch Air Force play the next day. Playing at altitude will be tough for SDSU, but that's just kind of like what you do in the Mountain West. So that is a little scary for me, but I just think 3.5 is too many here. Saying Air Force is better on a neutral, I just don't believe that. even with SDSU's offensive struggles, I just think they're the better team here. Getting 3.5 seems really nice. And I think it's Lucas Johnson starting quarterback, which honestly, I like more. I like his dual threat ability more than Brookshire. So
Brookshire's so I'm bad, all, dude. He hurts. It hurts my eyes watching him play football.
Yeah. So, I mean, part of the reason SDSU's getting 3.5 might be the back quarterback, but I really don't think it's a downgrade, like you said. I'm all over SDSU plus 3.5. I think play the money line, put him in round robin, super live here.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And I think that just kind of like the overall experience with the Air Force triple option attack and how they've been able to succeed against it in the past is pretty valuable. And I'm hoping that the change at quarterback kind of re-energizes the offense a bit. And if you can like complete one pass 20 yards down the field, and I think that SDSU likely stays within this number at least. That being said, Air Force has been so impressive this year. I'm the idiot who had them to win the Mountain West. I think 28-1 in my bet slip, and I was like, nah, I don't need to waste money on that. So that's a big loss for me there. But SDSU's defense is incredible. I truly believe it's a top 10 to 15 defense in the country. And when you have to have, when you have to prepare for a unique scheme like that, I think that having that much talent on the defensive side of the ball is just going to help so incredibly much. So I'm a fan of taking SDSU as the dog. James, your next play is Wake Forest -3. And I'm betting Army, and I very much disagree with this, but I would love to kind of hear your take, your angle on Wake Forest. Wake Forest is playing at West Point in their lane 3. I don't know what the total is on me.
52.5.
Okay. Tell me why Wake's covering.
Wake is covering because they have 2 weeks rest. The offense is too good and they're off a bye. Oh, sorry. 2 weeks rest and a bye. I've said the same thing, but this is the type of game Army struggles in. Last week, that Wisconsin game, that total was 37. So that's where it closed. In these low scoring games, they thrive in those very few possessions, but now they're playing a Wake Forest offense that's very explosive, big plays all around, and they have 2 weeks to prep for this this Army triple option. Wake Forest run defense is really poor, but I just think with the total of 52.5, that's projecting like a 27-24 game. With the way Wake moves the ball, I just don't see Army getting to 24 points unless they are busting off big plays and sustaining drives, but I just don't see it here. I think Wake's too good. 3 is a little disrespectful in my mind. Army's getting a lot of credit for what they did against Wisconsin last week, but I think that's more a result of Wisconsin being very bad than Army being good. And like I said, just 2 weeks prep for that triple option, that could change some things. I think 3 is just a little short, like I said. So Wake -3 is a play. I like this one quite a bit.
So I didn't include Army in my top 5 just because I didn't want to have us going like back and forth on the same game with both of these. If I did, I think Army would have slotted in at number 2. You alluded to it, but Wake's rushing defense is very, very bad. And this is going to be like, and that's just, this is what I'm focusing on here. So hold on 1 second, let me pull my notes up real quick. Okay. So rushing success rate, they are 99th in the country. Rushing success rate on defense, they're 115th in the country. And like Army is going to be able to sustain these drives. And I don't think that there's no, like, and because I'm getting 3 points at home, like that's all I need to like bet on this. I don't care. And I think that this is just like simply a talent thing. I don't think it has anything to do with Wake Forest not being ready to scheme up for the triple option. I just don't think they have enough talent up front on the defensive side of the ball to slow down the Army triple option. And on the flip side of the ball, I can totally agree with you thinking that Wake Forest can be put up a bunch of points, But Army already faced a similar offensive passing attack in Western Kentucky, and they won that game with ease. And that even that score was a little bit misleading with, and I bet Western Kentucky that week, and they had a wildly lucky backdoor with about 15 seconds left on a meaningless touchdown. I think that this is, and with two like similar schemes, I think Army is going to be very well prepared already. And like Army hasn't like been performing well against just bad teams either. I think that they have like a little bit more difficult of a schedule than like you would normally get as an independent. And I just don't find like Wake Forest. So like if Wake Forest needs to slow the game, or they're not going to want to use slow the game down, but like at the end of the game, if they need to, if they're trying to run out the clock, I think it's going to be very easy for Army to get stops, and or else Wake Forest is just going to have to pass the ball the whole game. And when I kind of get teams like that and situations like that, I prefer to go roll with the side that's getting points. So give me Army plus +3. I am very excited to watch this game because I think Army is very live here. And I think that I think this game should be a pick at the minimum. And I think that getting over getting a field goal is a great bet for me here. So go Army. My second pick. So I'm getting a little ugly here. I guess I'll be uglier with my fifth pick, but so I'm laying 13.5 with South Alabama. Yes, you heard that right. Not the school in Tuscaloosa, the school in the southern part of the state, I guess, because I don't know what city in Alabama they're in. But they're at Louisiana Monroe, who is just off a outright win against Liberty as 32.5 point favorites, I believe. Is that right?
Yes.
And that's going to be their biggest win all year and likely their biggest win for the next 10, 15 years. Louisiana Monroe is horrible. And I think that South Alabama has been very underrated in betting markets this year, throughout the year. They are ranked very highly in EPA margins and PPA stats. And I think – so – taking out just the complete situational spot in mind, I would have made this 16.5 or 17. Add in what I find is a huge talent edge, a huge coaching edge, and like the letdown spot of all letdown spots for Louisiana and Monroe, who I would argue just won their Super Bowl. Like they're not making a bowl game, and I think they know that. I think at 13 under two touchdowns is criminal. South Alabama absolutely just destroyed a Georgia State team, I believe, and where they were only 3-point favorites. I still don't think the market's catching up, and I think that South Alabama rules here. James, what do you think? I it's perfectly okay if you don't have any thoughts about this year.
I don't have a whole lot here. But you do make really good points. I mean, UM Monroe every game has been like 30-point dog. They actually have two wins of 23.5 point dogs or more. But the week after, I think last time they beat, I can't even remember off the top of my head. But the next week they got absolutely slaughtered. I think something pretty similar happens here. This is a bigger upset than the last one too. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, way bigger. But just to kind of finish off on my point, out of how many Division I football teams are there? 136, right?
I thought it was 126.
Okay.
Actually, it might be more. They keep adding.
Okay. Anyways, in EPA margin, Louisiana Monroe is 120th in the country. So that is offensive and defense combined. And offensive success rate, they are 130th in the country. And in defensive success rate, they're 125th in the country. So I really, really like where I'm at right now. And then for South Alabama, EPA margin, they are 6th in the country. They've been outperforming expectations all year long, and I expect them to continue to do so. And they are riding what I think is actually a pretty solid defense here too. So I think they're the South Alabama Cougars. I might be wrong there, but if they are, go Cougars.
Right.
My third favorite play is Nevada plus 3.5 at Fresno State. And this just comes down to faith in Carson Strong. And what I think is a Fresno State secondary that can struggle a bit. Fresno State gives up a bunch of explosive passing plays, and I think that there's no better, or there are not many quarterbacks better suited to take advantage of that than Carson Strong. He did, while Elijah Cooks was declared out for the year a couple weeks ago, but Romeo Dubs is still healthy and playing. And he has a game dominating presence on the field when Carson Strong and him are hitting on, are just hitting at max speed. I really like getting 3.5 here. I think they're very live to win outright. So give me Nevada plus 3.5. James, what do you think?
I actually bet this last night before we even talked about our plays. I just think Nevada is better this year, honestly. I think Nevada actually wins the Mountain West this year. So getting 3.5 here against Fresno, I'm going to take that all day. This is another game that would make my round robin.
Oh, yes, for sure. I'm ready to I'm ready to put a little money line dog parlay together because I like a lot of dogs this week. And you're looking at another dog.
Yep.
Who you couldn't get me to bet on this game if, like, you can do it even if you tried as hard as you possibly could. But you're backing LSU plus 9. I believe they are a home dog, right?
No, they're on the road.
They're on the road. Okay. They're on the road taking on Ole Miss. Please, with everything that went on with Ed Orgeron, please explain the love for LSU here.
That's why I like it. I think you're getting a lot of value because people are just talking about what's going on behind the scenes. All week on Twitter is talking about like his off the field relations with women, whatever it may be. And the players all on Twitter have come out and defended him. I think this is a win-win for Eddie O. I think last week was a game like that too, but Ed Orgeron was a former coach at Ole Miss, and I think they had a really bad ending, so left a bad taste in his mouth. I think the last 3 years he's played Ole Miss, he's covered every spread by a million points. It's just been an absolute buzzsaw against Ole Miss. And catching 9 here is really nice because it sounds like Lane Corral is very pessimistic about Matt Corral playing. So that leaves him with a true freshman backup. It's not John Reese Plumlee. It's not a – there's
my
guy.
Boy, John Reese Plumlee.
Sorry, Chaz's boy, John Reese Plumlee, is a true freshman. I just think getting 9 here is a lot of points, especially for a game that I think LSU can score whenever they want. Tennessee looked really bad offensively the first half last week. And then I don't know if you were watching, Chaz, but in the second half, they moved the ball really, really well. So I think more of the same happens for LSU here. And I think it could be a bit of a hangover spot for Ole Miss. I mean, they won the last two games, literally just by stopping a two-point conversion and a touchdown as time expired. So maybe a little bit of a flat spot here. And I think LSU gives it their all for Coach O. They're trying to finish the year strong.
That ending to that Ole Miss game was astounding. I mean, I'm not even talking about those idiots throwing trash on the field. Like, that was whatever. Like, first of all, grow up. There's bad calls in sports sometimes. I'm talking about Joe Milton not throwing the ball into the end zone.
That was insane.
He just ran out of bounds. That blew my mind.
You can see like the 12-yard line. He saw what he was doing. He's like, oh.
He's like, fuck this. I don't want to get hit.
It's just like jogged out. You got like tapped out.
I could not believe it. Coming in as a backup, you have the chance to be a hero. And that's what happens. Just astounded me.
Yeah, it's insane.
You make good points. My thing is there's with so much distraction going on, which I guess you could possibly make the argument that there's a lot of distraction going on about, like, maybe you're getting a bunch of questions about what happened last week with all the fans, but so if, like, for both teams, I get it. From what I've heard, I've heard that Kiffin likes that next quarterback. Like, he sees like a similar talent level to Matt Corral. So maybe it's, you know, he gets a little excited to play with, you know, his future quarterback, but I don't know. I want no part of this game. So I'm rooting for you. There you go, James.
Appreciate that.
Hey, anytime. Purdue, your fourth play. You're back in Purdue plus 3.5, which I was shocked that it went back up half a point.
Yeah, me too.
They're hosting Wisconsin. Purdue, of course, off their humongous win beating Iowa, who was the second ranked team in the country, correct?
Yes.
And did they rush the field?
Well, it was at Iowa, so I don't think they rushed the field.
Okay, never mind then. Wow, that is an impressive win. So they're getting 3.5. Why do you like this?
I just don't know what warrants Wisconsin being a favorite on the road against anyone in the country right now. I think they're a really bad football team. And on the other side of the ball, Purdue outgained Iowa last week and was thoroughly the better team the entire game. The scoreboard told no lies. Purdue dominated from beginning to the end. They've outgained every opponent this year. The offense is clicked. It's just at times they have lapses and bad turnovers that cost them. But getting 3.5 here, I really like this. I don't understand how Wisconsin gets margin in this game. I mean, they struggle to score as is, and now you get like a Purdue team that's got a pretty decent defense. It's just firing on all cylinders on offense right now, frankly. And I think of Wisconsin as like kind of an Iowa light, and Purdue just went into Iowa and absolutely took apart the Hawkeyes. And I think that just bodes really well here. I really just don't understand this line at all. It almost makes me not like it because I just don't understand how you're saying Wisconsin is 6.5 points better on a neutral. Give me Purdue in 3.5 here. This is probably my favorite money line play. Love Purdue.
I mean, if Wisconsin is hosting this Purdue, what, +7, +7.5? Probably +7.5, right?
Yeah, I'd play that in a heartbeat too.
Absolutely. I completely agree. I think also you got to believe, I mean, you and I often talk about how there's like this little like phenomenon of teams being ranked for the first time in either like a really long time or in school history, something like that. And then it's just like the ultimate letdown spot. I think Jeff Brohm is like the kind of coach where I'm not putting a bunch of faith in that. And I agree that Purdue offense looked good last week and has a very good defense and they take care of the football. My one worry is I don't believe they played last week, but they're not getting back they had a couple running backs out and I think a tight end who I'm not sure if they're playing, they're really moving this number all that much, but they won't be playing this week. But you know what? It looked like they didn't even need them. So I do like Purdue +3.5. This will also be going in the money line parlay for me. So go Boilermakers. My fourth play is, I'll admit it's a little bit of an ugly play. I'm backing Miami +3.5. Weird ending to their game last week with like a weird interception kind of, but I would argue that they played well enough to possibly win that game against North Carolina, who North Carolina was easily my worst call of the entire preseason. It's just kind of disappointing to watch, but
sorry, bro. I bet under Michigan State 4.5 and they're 7-0 right now. So
dang, I don't think it's quite as bad as that. Holy cow.
It'd be impressive. Yeah.
Goodness, that is insane. So I am kind of believing in Miami's freshman quarterback, I think Van Dyke or something like that. I don't know. He looked pretty good last week. They were moving the ball. They were scoring points. The defense was a mess, but I think North Carolina's offense is such a massive step up from what NC State can do. So I'm not super worried about that. If Miami can cause any pushback against NC State's run game, I think they're very live to win this game. I think getting the hook with the field goal is important to me here. So, and I don't think I would play it at 3, but I just don't have much faith in the NC State offense. The passing game is very weak, and I think that's where you can take advantage of Miami, and I don't think it's quite good enough to put up an ugly number on this team. In Miami, like, they've been fighting, and they've been putting up, I think, impressive second-half performances. So even if they are down 10-13 at half, I'm not super worried about them getting back into the game because like that, they've been doing that the last couple of weeks. So I am playing the Miami Hurricanes here. This also, they still do have a shot at a bowl game. So I wouldn't say their season is completely over. Maybe it's disappointing so far, but they're still very much playing for things here. And Manny Diaz is absolutely coaching for his job. So I do like Miami +3.5. James, what do you think?
Yeah, definitely in that way. I think NC State is overvalued. I think they've kind of carried that Clemson win to where they are now. And obviously, we know Clemson's just not that good this year. 3.5 seems like a lot to lay on the road. And I was actually pretty impressed with Miami last week. mostly their offense, but I think their offense can keep them in it here. And you can convince me about some 3.5 here.
All right. That way. My final play, and this was the ugly one out. This is the ugly one I was talking about. So I don't have much in the way of like statistical analysis, I guess I'll say. Which you can get on me for that if you want. But I do think this number is too big because Georgia State, they're just not a very good team. And I think that I need to find my notes on this game first. Here it is. And so I'm betting Texas State plus 10.5. They are on the road at Georgia State. So this is two very bad teams. And I think getting 10.5 points is way too much with Georgia State's pass defense as bad as it is. So I think this is going to be at very ripe for a backdoor. And Georgia State's offense has just been an overall mess, especially last week against South Alabama was pretty embarrassing. They couldn't decide whether or not they wanted to like run their triple option stuff or they didn't want to. So I think something might possibly be going on there. And when they do try and pass the ball, it is just not working out for them. There was a lot of their quarterback ranks pretty high in a turnover worthy plays. And while I am not, it's pretty hard to advocate for Texas State just as like an overall team. I mean, they're 116th in EPA margin and most of that's defensively where their defense just isn't that great. But offensively, they have been able to move the ball. They're pretty average in terms of offensive success rate. And that's where my confidence is falling. I just think they're able to score enough points to keep it a close game. So, and I'm getting 10.5 points. So give me Texas State plus 10.5. I'm not going to waste my time with the money line bet. It's just, if they win, cool. I'll have won my spread bet, but James, do you have anything here or are we good to move on?
Yeah, we're good here.
All right. I'm sure you'll be watching that one with great interest though, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. That was convincing. James, your final play. Kansas State is traveling to Texas Tech and Kansas State is getting one. What are your thoughts here?
I like K-State plus one. So Texas Tech is 5-2. Well, K-State is 3-3, but I think Texas Tech is super overvalued at 5-2. If you look at through their schedule, they've had an absolute cupcake schedule. And the only two teams that they've played worth a damn just blown them out of the water in TCU and Texas. I think K-State is much closer to those two teams than everybody else Texas Tech has played. Yes, it is a road spot and K-State has struggled the last few weeks, but their schedule has been much harder. They've played like Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, Iowa State the last 3 weeks. So I think this is a get right game for them, even if it may be on the road in a closely lined game. I just think they're a better team here. And if it's a pick, I'm going to take it all day. This is another one that might be making my round robin.
I disagree a little bit. I think Kent State's been kind of disappointing to me on defense, and I didn't really have a whole lot of faith in their offense to begin with, although I love what they can do on the ground. This isn't to say that I'm betting Texas Tech. I'm not. But I think that they've been very efficient passing the ball, and I think that's kind of where I've been let down the most by K-State. I thought coming into the year they're going to have a much better secondary just due to scheme and talent than they do. I think I'm hoping that we see that next year because I do believe in Chris Klieman a lot. But my main worry, it just comes down to Henry Columbia, I think his name is, the quarterback for Texas Tech. He's been outstanding. He's been super efficient and he's been making all the throws. And I think Matt Wells has done a pretty good job at Texas Tech. I wouldn't be surprised if we see him kind of upgrade to a better gig in the next couple of years. So I'm pretty impartial here, but when you're betting on Chris Klieman and you're telling me to bet on Chris Klieman, it's hard for me to disagree with that. So another case where I'll be rooting for K-State here. That's going to do it. One thing I forgot to add in the intro is that we both bet Oklahoma to win the title again. But oh, yeah, I got 14-1. I thought I told you there was a 14-1. That was my bad. Did you say you bet 10-1?
Yeah. I didn't have access to a 14-1. Best I saw was 10, but still interested me.
Caleb Williams has just absolutely moved the needle for me to bet it again, though. I mean, I think at 14-1, even lower than it is, I think that's ridiculous. And I do think that if people have concerns about the Oklahoma defense, I genuinely do believe that they just went up against possibly the best offense they'll see all year until like a matchup against Ohio State. I do think that TCU's defense is that good, and they always just have the answer for what Oklahoma does on defense. So like I'm really not super worried there. I'm excited. I'm excited. There's not really ranked matchups this week, but I'm looking forward to see the Mountain West showdown, SDSU versus Nevada, Oklahoma State, Iowa State interests me. That should be good. And then my boys at Pitt are going to dominate this week, and I'm pumped. Anything else before we close it out?
No, I think we hit pretty much everything. Next week's about a week, so we'll probably have a longer pod for that.
Yeah,
more good
sure.
games.
And we got college basketball coming around the corner. Mm-hmm. Very, very quickly. I'm excited. Sneaking up on us. I got to plug Twitter real quick. Don't forget to follow us at the Sharpside Pod on Twitter. Please go rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to our feed on Spotify if that's where you're listening. Shout out to Greg and Pocket Cast. I don't think Greg listens to the college show very much, but I got to throw that in there anyways. But thank you all for listening. We're going to win a lot of money this weekend because that's what I guess not me last weekend, but our picks have been doing very well the last couple of weeks. I'm looking to continue it for the Sharpside Podcast. Thanks for listening, guys. Let's go win some money.